3. Verse 10 is, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised, or humbled, or even better stated, to be emptied therein. The last word this month is on, or this issue is on repentance, and what the meaning of repentance is. And repentance is the absolute last thing. To be exercised or humbled or emptied is the last thing that the human condition can do. Everything else will be, I mean, you can, you know, there's all kinds of repentance, like, you know, you're a little kid, I put my sister in the spin dry, and she told on me, or my mother found out some way, and I had to say, I was sorry. I wasn't sorry. You know, the whole nine yards of what you've learned about repentance is wrong. And what we have learned as a society about repentance is wrong. The scriptures say that that repentance of the world, it just leads to sorrow, because you always promise you're not going to do it again, and you do it again, no matter what it is. You get blasted drunk, and then you say, God, get me through this, and I'll never drink again, and you do it again. Whatever it is. But true repentance is total emptiness, the abandonment of self, the abandonment of the right to yourself. And that's the last thing that you'll ever do. And that's the last thing the human race will ever do. Many people, they commit suicide instead of repent. Your mind is hardwired not to repent, because your mind is hardwired for self-realization, for self-betterment, for self. Your mind is hardwired to satisfy the ego, in our present psychobabble terms. But self-realization is the essence of sin. The scriptures call it iniquity. Who can possibly turn from self-realization? And so you spend your life acting religious. You get caught at something, and you finally, somebody says, you say you're sorry. Over the years, every time, I mean, this one guy was here for a long time, he would scream and yell at everybody, and then he'd come back to me in tears and tell him he's sorry, but he'd never tell the body he was sorry. I even wanted to wash my feet, and I wouldn't let him, because it's not real. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand how you internally, the last possible thing, the last thing before, that you would prefer even death to, I mean physical death, other than repentance? So it says, he has seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men. So therefore we know that travail or suffering or affliction was given by God to men to be humbled, to be emptied, to be emptied therein. We don't do it, do we? You think that if you learn a little bit more, or if you learn some more rules, or if you go somewhere else, or if you do anything other than repent. Do you ever wonder why these people, like, you know, there's Christianity has become an instrument for self-realization, and there's mega churches galore everywhere. because they're teaching them how to realize themselves more. That's not church, that's Babylon.
Oh, Ollie, you hurt my feelings, or you're not helping my little ego.
You're right. Because my only function, and your only function, in whatever arena you're in, is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. It's not to make converts. That'll happen automatically. If you believe, you'll speak. If you speak, some will hear. You cannot even begin the process that Paul described of be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind until repentance takes place. It's repentance not to be repented of. Anybody have any response? Anybody understand? Repentance loses the I motive. So your thoughts, you find out that any time you are the subject of what goes on in your mind, that this is how I feel, or this is what that makes me feel like, you'll never solve that. Because no matter what it is, something will make you feel like something. I hope you understand. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Again, remember, he has set, the world is ha-olam. And olam is the vanishing point. No matter what you do, you cannot find out the work that God doeth or what's next. It's not for you to know, because that would negate faith. But how much of your day is spent deciding what you're going to do next? How much of my day, anybody's day? I pray it's less and less and less. What?
Well, I jumped when you said modern Christianity has become I forget what the noun was, of self-seek method or tool.
A means of self-realization.
Because it's absolutely that. I mean, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's all about
me.
Here's a list of attributes. Here's a list of behavior. Here's a list of how-tos, whatever. I mean, it's endless lists of this and this. And then examine yourself and see how you stack up against this. And then adjust your behavior and monitor your behavior to get this result. I mean, that's all that I see and hear and read.
I've forbidden the use of this word, but I'm going to use it anyway. Let me share with you some of the... I don't know why I say I've forbidden the... Nobody pays any attention to me anyway. What?
That would be cult.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
You're going to die. Rabbi Levi said of this verse... It's the dread of the angel of death in order to drive men. Well, he's partially true, you remember? It says that you who have been in bondage through fear of death your entire life are now freed. Again, remember, the fear of death is really the fear of separation from something that you think is important. Rabbi Naaman says, it's the evil inclination, for if it wasn't for it, nobody would build a house or marry or beget children. Well, they're right. If it wasn't that Ha'olam was set in your heart, Rabbi Zera said, Ha'olam should be read as Hu'olam. And again, remember there are no vowel points. Can you imagine reading the scriptures and there were no vowels and there was no separation between the words and there was no punctuation? And in AD 165, or thereabouts, a number of rabbis said it was the end of the world. Because one of the Ptolemies translated, or had they got 70 scholars from all over the world, or from all of the best of the scholars that would do it, and had them translate the Bible, translate meaning put vowel points and punctuation and all that into it so that it could be read and it could be in libraries. That sounds like a nice thing to do. But the rabbis knew that once that was done, then every individual and every different denomination would come up with their own definition and their own interpretation of all of these scriptures. Well, isn't that what it's supposed to be? Well, it's fine, I don't care. But it's not revelation. You know, even things as basic, we've spent a lot of time in this, but it's always good to look at it. Even the prayer as basic as what we call a Lord's Prayer is made slightly changed so that you can understand it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way it's read in every church that I've ever seen, in every translation except King James that I've ever seen. That's not what it says. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus further expanded on it, and he said, The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. Peter said, All things continue as they were from the beginning, from the days of old, from the days of the forefathers. There's never going to be any outward evidence. But think of the wars that have been conducted in the past. Think of the foreign policy that's going on right now in the Middle East over translating that on instead of in. It's the blood really has reached to the horse's bridle, as it talks about, because from that perspective, from that parable, the whole world is Armageddon and has been for 2,000 years. Because everybody is fighting a war in some religious issue. Because it's the kingdom of God on earth instead of in earth.
Reminds me of, you've said so many times, if you have the strength left to make a decision for Christ, you'll
choose the wrong Christ.
It's the same thing that's what you're talking about right now, about Scripture. It wasn't, those letters weren't there so that an individual could take a book and go away and read a book and come up with what the book says. They were there as memory devices for people who already knew what was in the book.
Well, they were
there.
They
learned it by being part of a people as opposed to, and that's why, given the choice, if you have a choice of making that missing syllable an I or an O, you'll make it an O.
And hereby you test all the spirits, 1 John 4. Spirits are just whatever gives you information. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. If he is come in the flesh, then the kingdom of God is here, and he is perfect, and by one offering you've been perfected forever, so you're at peace at all times. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist, the instead of Christ, not against Christ. The Antichrist confesses that he did come and that he will come, but it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come, because if he is come, then my work is over. My sanctification is complete. I've been perfected by one offering. I have nothing else to do except wait on him by loving my neighbor as myself. But if I don't see that, if I translate that in the Bible, which it is, again, in every Bible except the King James, it says, "Hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." Because the mind can't understand he is come. So again, that scripture has lost its power because people read it as has come. And everybody confessing, except a few idiot atheists, that he has come in the flesh and that he will come again. But it's only the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God himself, that can confess he is come, because in order for you to confess he is come, you have had to accept your death at that moment. No man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, who is mammon? What is mammon? Mammon is you. It's everything that you know about your mind, everything that you have ever learned that you have had in any confidence in. So you can't, it's impossible. You can't serve God in mammon. 99% of even us who claim we believe in this, we still end up serving ourselves. We minister to ourselves. Our life is based on what we and how we protect and what we do with mine and ours. Can you see why you account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation? Because all we do is crucify him afresh. Every time you're the subject of your sentence, every time you have a concern for something about you, you've crucified him again. Can't believe that. You can't. That, blah, 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 blah. Well, how do I do that? How do I shut up my mind? Well, you shut up your mind by seeing your mind as a piece of crap. That you've been deceived your entire life. The whole world lieth in deception. Every man is wandering after the beast, because every man is wandering after himself.
Have a nice day. Now, trust me, I don't care whether you believe this or not. That's your business. I only care whether or not I've explained it enough so that it penetrates this beast for a minute, for a second, for a split second. If you want to keep giving your opinions, and whether this is good or bad, and whether you like this or not, and whether this is good, and whether that's not good, and this is what I think about that, and this is what I think about this. And every single time you do that, you resurrect that one who is killed with a deadly head wound. You resurrect him from the dead to see him back up in the temple of the living God instead of Christ. It's not... But when you're there seated on the mercy seat, when everything is in the world is exactly right, when all you see is the New Jerusalem, all you see is the holiness of His perfection. And in that place, there's total peace of mind. There's peace that passes all understanding. There's total rest. Why would you get off the mercy seat? The next section is about the name. And I don't think we have the time even to begin to talk about that. So. Any response? Got to have something going on.
My favorite things in life depend on the continuation of my life. So.
Why do you think? Why do you think that I spent 12 years trying to prove that what I saw was wrong?
It was a good idea at the time.
No, because I saw that it was the end of me. I could never again do anything to benefit me. I could never again do anything to help myself. And all my little hopes and dreams and my little ambitions, they were just vaporized.
Maybe you should have spent 13 years.
I've spent 20 some more. Miss Josanna? Amen? You look like you've been hit with a brick.
Well, no, even as a kid, growing up Catholic, I was the model Catholic from the outside. I mean, as a young kid.
Boy, you must have been around some fools.
Yeah. You know, the scapulars, the holy medals, the whole thing. And I remember asking Sister Thomasina, asking this nun, about the Apostles' Creed, because we could barely say it in kindergarten. They were, you know, we had to try to memorize everything. And in it, you know, talks about, you know, Christ and, you know, His life, you know, coming for us, dying, rising, and then all of a sudden He'll come again. And it's like, I just said, well, what's in between? And she says, that's why you have to be good, because you have to wait for Him, and you have to follow what the priest says, and go to Mass and all this. And it's all this self-serving stuff, but nothing about Christ is risen, Christ is here, Christ is in you. I mean, we were never taught that.
Neither was anybody else, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
sometimes when they go through that, it's like, are we talking about King Arthur?
Well, we got to go back to that little poem that I just despise. Footsteps in the sand.
I was there all along.
Or God is my co-pilot.
I remember being in Catholic school when I was a kid. I remember nuns teaching us that God's everywhere and in everything.
Well, that's pantheism.
But not Christ.
That's not the same.
And that confused me when I was like 5 or 6. I didn't understand what they were talking about. I thought, so, you know, in other words, what they're, in my little child mind, I thought, so what they're saying is that nothing exists but God, and God's everywhere. So, I mean, it was very confusing. I didn't understand, but I was taught kind of, I mean, I guess it was a form of pantheism or...
Well, everybody was taught.
They weren't advocating animism or something.
But they talked about God as a general term, not as... Christ and salvation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's God is using all of it. And we're not running around trying to say somebody else should do what we are, do what we do, and do believe what we believe. All we're saying is, I know that I know that I know, and I know with everything in me, and Josanna knows, and Judy knows, and John knows, and Pete knows, and is that we have to be faithful to what we see.
Today is the day of salvation.
Now is the accepted time. And that now never becomes, oh, I did that yesterday. It's always, that's why the eternal eternity is, it's always now. And anything that goes beyond that is forbidden. Not forbidden, it's just stupid. You can do whatever you want to. But you will continue to do it. You will continue to speculate. You will continue to wonder after things. You will continue to think about all this crap until you find out that all of that is garbage. And until you do, I could talk to you every hour, on the hour. You could have all kinds of little phylacteries to remind you. But your mind, until you know that you don't owe your mind or your emotions anything, you're not in a debtor to them in any way. Your only function is, your only being, your only awareness is the will of God. And that is never what it is, it's that you're in it. Then your mind is going to do that. So if you pay attention to your mind, that's what's going to happen. It's a given. You're not going to get any better. You're not going to learn anything. I'm certainly not able to teach you anything. All I can do is make fun of your little idols.
You did a damn good job.
Yep.
Oh, but that's not an idol. And that's the whole point of it. Nobody has ever worshipped an idol. Nobody has ever worshipped a false god in their mind. They give breath to what they think is important. That's what you do. That's why to love means to give breath to as the verb. And that's why the injunction is that you and I must love the Lord our God as a verb with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That means there's an awareness of nothing else. And in doing so, you'll love. You will meet the need. You will give breath to the neighbor as you do yourself. Everything else is commentary. But as long as you continue to minister to self, and I'm talking about you do privately, and you're in here, and you wonder what it's going to be, and what am I going to do, and where is this going to come from, and you're just you might as well go out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Take it, big guy. I'm tired of talking.
Would everybody at this table sign Victor's card?